This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the game sweeping the nation, how Fortnite defied convention to become a bona fide hit. How does it now take its success to the bank? But first, these tech headlines. The White House is blaming Russia for a massive cyber attack last year that crippled computer networks at multinational firms worldwide, vowing the hack would be met with, quote, international consequences, end quote. An administration official wouldn't say what the consequences might be or whether the U.S. would act alone or with other nations. The U.S. and China are still in that race for AI dominance. Case in point, in July 2017, the Chinese government said it planned to reach parity with the United States on artificial intelligence by 2020 and become the world leader by 2030. This is according to the latest tech research from CB Insights. You can head to WSJ's CIO Journal at WSJ.com for more. And apparently people are walking into glass at Apple's new headquarters. Apple has run into a very specific problem at Apple Park because so much of the interior is made from glass, and people are walking into pain, sometimes painfully. According to documents MarketWatch obtained via public records, at least two injuries resulted in minor cuts but did not appear to require hospitalizations. Apple Park was expected to open to employees in April 2017, but due to construction delays, employees only began to move into the office around the beginning of this year. Coming up, the game Fortnite has the buzz. Now can it make a buck? This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. So teenagers and their parents are obsessed with Fortnite. Its creator, Epic Games, has that part down. Now the question is whether it can turn buzz into profit. Let's get the latest. Joining us now in studio is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah E. Needleman. Hey, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So Fortnite went on sale in July for $40. Then to attract more interest, Epic Games made an unusual decision. It created a free version alongside the paid game. And it looks like that decision paid off. Not literally yet. We'll get to that. But can you talk about the buzz, you know, surrounding this game? And if your reporting is any indication, what has the buzz been like?
It's a hot game. This is definitely a really popular game right now. About 40 million people are playing both versions, the free and paid one. And it's so popular that the company that runs it, their servers have been crashing because so many people are playing simultaneously. Last weekend, they had a couple million people playing, you know, at one time. So it's extremely popular and definitely what people are talking about. I spoke to teachers at different parts of the country and they said this is what the kids are talking about in school left and right.
So it's a good indication, right? So to describe the game, maybe it's a winning concept. You say it's kind of like Minecraft meets a traditional shoot 'em up.
For the paid version, there's building going on, and it's called a co-op game because you're playing with other people together and you're going against the environment. So the world is not as it is today, and there's zombie-like creatures, and you're a lot of dust, and trying to survive this very harsh environment together. So you're building forts and things like that. So that's where the building elements come in, and you're shooting at these zombie-like creatures and trying to survive. And then you have this free mode, which is a little different. It borrows this concept that's commonly called Battle Royale, and it's like a last man standing deathmatch style thing, kind of like the Hunger Games. You got 100 players all together, and they're fighting each other to be the last one surviving or the last team surviving.
So, you know, it seems like the free game aspect coupled with the multiplayer aspect, that seems to be...
both are multiplayer.
Right. But in terms of just the success that the free game is seeing, do you think that there's something to the fact that it's free coupled with that multiplayer aspect that's sort of driving things?
Exactly. It's these two elements coming together. One is it's free. It's not, you know, there are other free games out there, not that many, for consoles at least, very rare. But it is free, so that is one aspect of it. And this genre, this battle royale, last man standing kind of genre, happens to be very hot right now. Mm-hmm. It's a fresh take on this time-worn first-person shooter genre. We've seen that forever. And last year, this game called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds came out, and that really picked up the genre. They weren't the first to do this last man standing type of thing, but they did it in a way that really seemed to resonate with people, and the genre's hot right now. And so Epic Games, the company that makes Fortnite, noticed that and said, hey, we'll make our own version of this style of play, this mechanic of the concept of 100 players coming in and fighting to be the last one standing. Marry that with the fact that it's free, it certainly made it possible to have a large number of, you know, certainly enticing to people. You don't have to pay a dime.
Sure.
And for a game like that, you need a lot of people.
Yeah. So, and then in order to make money, I understand there's the utilization of that, you know, age-old, at this point, selling in-game items. How is that working?
Right. So what this game does is borrow from the concept we see on our smartphone games, where most of the smartphone games are free, and then you have the option to spend money inside to enhance your experience. So basically, they applied the same logic to a console game. Not the first to do it, but again, very few games are like it on consoles. Usually, you're paying it at least $15, and for the AAA games, you're paying $60. That's mm-hmm. the norm. So it is pretty unusual, and they do sell virtual goods, character costumes, they call them skins, weapons, these sort of things that are meant to just customize your character. It's not going to give you an advantage. You're not going to increase your odds of winning just because you spend money in the game, but you will be able to make your character look pretty darn hip. And for a lot of the players, that's part of the fun.
So in terms of making money, is that enough, though? Because not to mention selling in-game items can get controversial, as we've discussed on the podcast. So any indication on how the bigger picture looks?
Well, we don't know for sure because Epic Games declined to discuss how much money they've made from the game. They are a privately held company. We have an estimate that we put in the story of about $157 million. That's according to an estimate from Super Data Research. And that's, you know, just based on some publicly available information and what we know about player spending habits and these kinds of games to come to that conclusion. But we don't know the exact amount. But we do know mobile games do very well this way. And there are some games that make billions of dollars a year that are actually free to play. If you look at some of the games from Supercell, for example, Clash of Clans, these are very lucrative titles. And so we may be able to make a guess that this game is doing quite well too.
Sarah E. Needleman, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
For more on reporter Sarah E. Needleman's coverage, you can head to WSJ.com. She covers all things gaming for the Journal. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.